Hi guys, and welcome back to Quarantine. I'm here today with special guest and daily journalist Hannah Krieg.
Hi.
Hannah is an expert in dating, according to your column, Thirst Trap.
Self-appointed.
I'm literally so excited to talk to you today because your column was the first content really that I started following when I started looking at the reading the daily, and I was always like enthralled with the way you can just like be so coy but like blunt at the same time, and like it's like tasteful like sassiness that's, I don't know, it's just like very admirable, and I love your writing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so we're gonna start off by like talking about Thirst Trap and like content that you put out now, or like before pandemic, and then content you put out now. Uh-huh. What is the big difference?
Oh gosh. Well, just the way of the world, I guess. But definitely, I miss the days when I could write something that didn't have to be COVID related. Mm-hmm. Now it's not so much that I do that, but I remember spring quarter, I'm like, okay, how do I talk about dating when dating isn't really happening?
And it's kind of illegal.
And if it is happening,
like,
it's happening
at first, online. We were like, it felt kind of illegal to, like, see other people, let alone touch other people.
True. No, I remember I got on it so quick because I remember it was like freaking January. I talked to Mac. I was like, oh, what are we going to do about this whole like COVID mm-hmm. thing? Like, is anyone going to write about that? And they're like, oh, I don't want to like scare anyone. So we'll probably just
COVID
like
owns.
Not write about
COVID
it.
COVID owns our content now.
And then, literally. And I wrote something about having sex when mm-hmm. you're sick.
I was literally, that was in February because I was just looking through, I have like all the Thirst Traps pulled up right now, and I was like, oh, this is so convenient, because I remember in that one you were literally like, you can't have sex when you're sick, like if you don't want to spread things, like do not have sex. And I remember being like, that's kind of sad. Yeah. And then like COVID happened and that got way more real.
Yeah, I remember I was talking to that, I don't remember who I spoke with, but a doctor mm-hmm. or something, and she was telling me, she was like, because I was like, it was right when COVID was kind of like, oh, will they, won't they, about like killing us all. and at that time it was won't they, like they won't, but she was kind of like, oh, like I like COVID's not like an STD, but we don't, it's like not like a super concern for us, we're not really thinking about the spread of COVID right now. And it's just crazy how much things have really changed, because that's like the thing that's getting in the way of sex.
Yeah.
Is yeah, COVID.
For sure. Okay, well then that starts the conversation off, dating in quarantine. Yeah, like whether you're dating or not, like what are we doing? So we're gonna talk first about your opinion on dating quarantine. Like, can you do it? Is it possible, mm-hmm. Hannah?
I think it definitely, like, in March, definitely mm-hmm. not. I think in the summer, there was a little bit less cases, and there was more, like, opportunity to be outside, which allowed for, like, kind of social, mm-hmm. socially distanced dates to happen. And now, as we're heading into the colder months and cases are rising once again, it doesn't seem like a great idea to date in mm-hmm. person. I mean, I'm sure there are safe ways to go about it. I know a lot of people kind of employ like a bubble system mm-hmm. and like try to keep like a close, tight circle that doesn't really see anyone else. I think that is, if you're really
I saw this infographic the other day on Instagram, and it was like demonstrating what your bubble really is. And yeah, it's like you and another person, and then there are other people, and then there are other, you know, we've known it like from the beginning, like yeah. how, I don't know, like yeah. foolproof the bubble
it's
is.
It's definitely hard, especially like I live with six people and two of them have boyfriends. Mm. And so they're kind of like spiritually connected, because that was kind of a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
But it's hard because then it's like, well, if you're not in a committed relationship, do your social needs
matter,
become yeah. less important than like someone who's monogamous?
That is such a good point. My
right
friend who I was roommates with last year was having that same issue with her roommates. Like, they could have their boyfriends over, but like her friends weren't allowed to come over, like her two close friends.
Right.
Yeah. And it does like question, like, why does monogamy control everything?
Literally. What we did in my house, at least, is we really thought about, rather than the title of the person you're bringing over, the implications.
Love
so
it.
Like, if they were a safe person, it didn't matter if they were your boyfriend. If they lived on Greek Row, they were not coming over. It didn't matter if they were your boyfriend. If they were seeing a bunch of people, they were not coming over. If they weren't your boyfriend and they were trapped in their little apartment, not seeing anyone, that could be a safe person. It didn't matter what the label was. It was about, what kind of germs could this person bring into our home? And do we want to, like, yeah, it was definitely, like, no exceptions just because you're dating them. It has to, like, follow a health standard rather than a social dating kind of standard. Yeah.
And how is that strategy working out for you and your housemates?
I don't really, like, see anyone. But the two people in my house who do have boyfriends, like, their boyfriends are here. And it just so happens that their boyfriends live together. So it's, like, really convenient and, like, pretty closed circle. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes it way more convenient and makes you worry a lot less. I have a friend whose roommates worry a lot, but they have boyfriends and they're pretty strict about her having friends over.
Yeah, definitely communicate that with your house for sure. It's so hard.
Yeah, so it can get kind of confusing on, you know, what those standards are and boundaries you have for each other, but setting them is super important. But yeah, moving on, let's talk about touch. We're not getting any.
Oh my God.
Do you have any tips?
I'm looking for tips on that as well. I don't know. I think you need to supplement that with as many other things as possible. Like, thinking about, like, the love languages, I guess. Like, how can I get, like, words of affirmation instead? How can I still get the quality time? Mm. How can I still get acts of service, you know? Like, if we're lacking in one, we have to make up in all the other places. And then if that's, like, still an issue, I don't know, maybe, like, just start hugging your friends. Like, fuck. I'm not super huggy with my friends. Yeah.
No, for real. That is such a good point. And I love that you brought up love languages, because quarantine has put a lot of focus on what we really need from each other, because you spend so much time alone that it does put a magnifying glass on all the parts you're lacking in. And I mean, physical touch is a huge one, but I think it is important to focus on your other love languages that do, you know, fulfill your needs and make you feel loved, like words of affirmation or I can't remember the other ones. Let me look them up. Gift giving, quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service. What are yours? Do you know them in order?
In order, it's probably like, I would say quality time, then words, and then physical. And then I, like, is there another? There's like acts of service too. Not that. Whatever that is, not that. And then gifts, not that. What about you?
I, too, am not huge into gifts. Like, I don't know. When someone gives me a gift and it's super thoughtful, it is so sexy. Or when they, like, know I needed something and they, you know, went ahead and, like, gave it to me without me having to ask. Like, I really love that. But I am really big into, like, words of affirmation. I think that's, like, my first one. Just, like, comforting words. And then, yeah, physical touch.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. It does suck, but I really have coped with stuffies.
FaceTime is a lifesaver. I love FaceTime. I FaceTime all the time.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, that's a good way to, like, get that in, like, those words of affirmation. Just sit in front of a FaceTime call and, like, hang up and go to bed. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. You just put your makeup on, pour yourself a glass of wine.
For sure.
You know, get into that conversation and then take a nap or go to bed afterwards. So switching gears a little bit, we're going to talk about a column you wrote. One of your thirst traps was about should you break quarantine for sex. And I want to talk about how sex dynamics have been changing within quarantine, because there is that, you know, the risk that you're taking by leaving the house and going to go have sex with a random hookup. So yeah, do you think that hookup culture is changing? Are people still hooking up with people that they don't know as well? Do you think friends with benefits is becoming more popular?
That's really interesting. I think, like, there is, like, a pressure to, in some sense, commit to sex with one person, whether that's, like, in a relationship or, like you said, like, friends with benefits, 'cause you want to keep your circle small. So, yeah, I guess people might be, like, more open to that, especially now that it's, like, getting really bad again. Like, oh, do you just, like, start, like, sleeping with your roommates? Like, what do you do? Like, I'm not sure.
What happens in quarantine stays in quarantine.
I know. I, like, I floated that idea because over the summer I was living with my house is, like, basically empty, but I was just living with, like, one guy, and I remember talking to him one day and I was like, we're not doing anything right now, like, we should just have sex. And he's like, absolutely not, we're not doing that. I was like, what do you mean?
Could be good tonight, but probably won't be when we have to wake up tomorrow and be roommates for the next 9 months.
Yeah, how has it changed for you, though?
Well, for me, it's been not that mm-hmm. different, I think, than just normal life. Like, I didn't date a lot in college because I'm not done with college yet, but I'm, you know, my senior year, mm-hmm. I didn't really plan on getting into an intimate relationship or anything long term or serious. So I, you know, I just messed around in the frat scene, you know, met guys in my class and whatnot, but it wasn't very fulfilling. So I, you know, have done Tinder, and that also became a hot mess when quarantine started, because it's just a lot of guys basically telling you to break quarantine to give them sexual favors. Or it's just, you know, exhausting to, like, get to know people so intimately just online or through text communication. So I stuck to what I had, and my Instagram boyfriend is what I call him, but we've been talking for all of quarantine, but we met on Tinder about a year ago, and he doesn't live in Seattle anymore. He did. And then he transferred jobs, but we just stayed in contact over Instagram, and it's been really nice. I get a lot of, you know, instant gratification from knowing that I'm getting close to someone, but I don't have to worry about the risk, you know, running the risk of COVID. And I think that's what, you know, I've looked at the silver lining of the situation. Like, I would never think about, like, purposely getting into a long distance relationship, honestly, but it does feel pretty socially responsible.
Yeah, no, literally, like, I would rather die than date, but I also would rather not die of coronavirus than date. So it's like, I don't want to date in general that much, but yeah, no, it's like, it definitely sucks to be without that, like, that physical, and then, like, to see other people, like, oh, they're in a relationship, so they get to, like, live normally in a way that, like, maybe single people don't. It's just, like, you know, you can get a little frustrated, but hopefully there'll be a vaccine. That would be really, really hot, really cool.
I know. Really, really convenient at this point. Yeah. I know. I mean, I saw there was, I don't know who's working on the vaccine right now, but there was, like, one that Pfizer was, like, 95%.
And, like, Moderna also has one, I think.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's enough for me. Put it in me. Whatever. Eh.
Yes, I have.
I don't care.
Speaking of dating. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, that wraps up all the questions that I have. Oh, ha. No, last segment. Fun date ideas. I have a few. Like everyone was really into baking bread at the beginning of quarantine, so we could bring that back. But you would have to do that in the park. People were also really a big fan of making hand sanitizer.
In the park.
Do that, but in the park. And charcuterie in the park, that's a good one.
Yeah.
A joint in the park, a good one. And then last one I have, volunteer at a homeless shelter.
Very fun. I like a good virtual date. I like a good get drunk on FaceTime kind of date. That's my favorite. Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed our chat, and also I loved your
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks for coming on the pod. See you next time.
Okay, I am still working out the kinks of editing and making podcasts, so I apologize that the last 3 to 4 minutes of that audio sounded like I was being held under a blanket. My phone just slid under my fuzzy blanket and made it sound very muted. Anyhow, thank you so much for listening to the 5th episode of Quarantine. I am so happy that this project has been going so well and I've been having such good, enlightening conversations with so many amazing people. Have a really safe Thanksgiving, guys. If you can, wear a mask and stay away from people who are not in your circle. And happy dating, happy online dating, and be safe. And if you're going to have sex, use a condom and a mask. Peace and love.